Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
When problems come into your marriage, don't focus on the failures of your husband or your wife. You will find them. They're not perfect. But get on your knees and examine first your personal commitment to Jesus Christ.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Marriage is ordained by God and the most important relationship in the family. But sadly, many marriages today seem to be lacking the joy and love that God intended. Today on The Verdict, we're continuing our study in Romans and learning from a wonderful example of a loving marriage. Now, let's join Pastor John Monroe with the second part of his message titled, A Profile of Marriage.
What do you believe are some of the components of a strong, lasting, loyal, biblical marriage? Today we continue in the opening verses of Romans chapter 16, where Paul refers to a couple who had helped him greatly in his missionary journeys, Priscilla and Aquila. Last time we saw the importance of loyalty in marriage and other relationships. We began to think of the loyalty to the Word of God. Sexuality and marriage are being turned upside down today, so it is of crucial importance that we understand these subjects from a biblical worldview. A couple loyal to each other and loyal to the Word of God are rather rare, but what an inspiring example to others. Here is a profile of marriage.
I'm very thankful that even after over 40 years of marriage, my wife and I still enjoy being together, getting to know each other, spending time with each other, laughing together. Do you ever laugh with your wife, your husband? Laughter. Life is crazy, isn't it? What I'm saying is this. In the profile of a marriage, loyalty to each other is important. It's essential, Jesus says. What God has joined together, let not man separate. Now there's a second one. In marriage, be loyal to the Word of God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 18, where we see Priscilla and Aquila, who were committed to God's word. I love this about this couple. Acts chapter 18, and here we are, Acts 18, verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius, that's the emperor, had commanded all of the Jews to leave Rome, and he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. Incidentally, Paul the apostle wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. Interesting, isn't it? Verse 18. After this, Paul stayed many days longer and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. They're with Paul on the ship. At Cenchrea, he had cut his hair, for he was under a vow. Verse 24. Now a Jew called Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Apollos is a brilliant orator, knows the word of God, but hasn't got it all right. And this couple, Priscilla and Aquila, obviously knew the Holy Scriptures, and they had learned the Scriptures from Paul, also I'm sure in part from Apollos, and they take him aside. I'm sure they didn't make a spectacle out of it, took him aside privately and taught him the Word of God accurately. Yes, here's an example of a woman teaching a man. Men, do you think you can't learn anything from a woman? In the first church I pastored, there were five elders, and I learned very quickly that there was a woman in the church. We called her the Mother Superior because she knew her Bible better than most of the elders. And we learned if we were wise, we listened. Her name was Mary Fran McNally, We called her affectionately the Mother Superior, and she often taught us the word accurately. In the life then of Priscilla and Aquila, the word of God wasn't peripheral, it was central to them. Central to the relationship. This is not just a couple who go to church for an hour on Sunday and then get on with their life. Their whole life is involved in understanding and obeying the word of God. Again, I have to say the obvious. Families, the word of God must be central in your home. Is it? If you're going to have the Lord Jesus in your home, you must first have the Lord Jesus in your heart. It starts with you, sir. Starts with the mother, the father. God must first be in your heart. The living Christ must first be in your heart before he's in your home. Struggling in your marriage? It may be that you don't know Christ personally. It may be that you've never received Christ in your heart. You've got this desire, a kind of vague desire to have a Christian home, and you say, I'm not sure where to begin. It begins with your commitment to Jesus Christ, by receiving Christ as your Savior. And when problems come into your marriage, don't focus on the failures of your husband or your wife. You will find them. They're not perfect. But get on your knees and examine first your personal commitment to Jesus Christ. When a husband and wife are loyal to God's word, they will teach that word to their family. Proverbs 1 verse 8, hear my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Again, notice in the family, mother and father are both teaching the scriptures. They may do it differently. The way I was raised, my dad did it more formally. He led, as it were, the family devotion. But my mother also taught us informally, as she were. She had her Bible open in the kitchen. And so we are both my mother and my father are communicating the word of God to me. What about Timothy? 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, Paul says of Timothy, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Who taught Timothy? Yes, Paul did. I understand that. But before Paul ever taught Timothy, Timothy had learned the Scriptures as a child from infancy. The Greek word is brephos, refers even to John the Baptist when he's in his mother's womb. That is, from the earliest moment, you teach your children the Holy Scriptures. Timothy learned from his mother and grandmother. Grandparents here, teach your grandchildren scripture from infancy. And the primary responsibility of teaching children is not me, is the pastor. It's not the Sunday school teacher. It's not the Awana leader. It's not the youth pastor. It's you as parents. And we want to come alongside you and help you in your marriage, and help you as you bring up your children in the ways of the Lord. Josh McDowell says, research shows that parents have 300% greater influence on a child's spiritual or theological belief than their pastor or youth pastor. You've got much, much more influence and impact on the life of your child than the Sunday school teacher, than the youth pastor, than myself. Learn from Priscilla and Aquila. The word of God was obviously opened in their home. Put Christ first in your home. A loyalty to each other, a loyalty to the word of God. Third, in marriage, be loyal to the work of God. Look back at Romans 16 that we read, verses 3 through 5. It's clear that this couple were loyal to the work of God. Paul says here, they're my fellow workers. Verse 3 of chapter 16, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers, not just companions, they were his companions, not just friends, but workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life. We don't know what that was, perhaps We know that Paul was shipwrecked 3 times. We don't know what it was, but they risked their necks for my life. No wonder he says we give thanks. Not just us, but all of the churches of the Gentiles. They were fellow workers in Christ Jesus. As the Apostle Paul, with all of the responsibility he had, this was a couple he could count on. They were loyal to each other, to the Word of God, and to the work of God. Not just serving God when it was convenient. They even traveled with him. That's loyalty. That's a commitment to the advancement of the gospel. You say, well, we can't do that. That was exceptional. Yes. It's going to work out differently in all of our lives. But the principle is this, that a couple in a Christian marriage are loyal to each other, to the Word of God, and they're going to be serving the Lord together. Can you be relied on? I think this is one of the greatest blessings of marriage. A Christian marriage, that a husband and wife are serving the Lord together. Many of you do this, don't you? You have ministries, and that ministry is enhanced when you as a couple have a commitment to it. No, it doesn't mean to say that the husband and wife always have the same ministry. Goody doesn't preach. She doesn't give the leadership in the church the way that I do, but she is there behind me, loyal to the work of God. Now, lest I be misunderstood, let me say again, there are no perfect marriages. My marriage is not perfect. If someone claims to have a perfect marriage, to me, I immediately dismiss them. Either they're living in cloud cuckoo land or they are just lying. So if you're a single person, remember this. Remember that there is no perfect husband, no perfect wife out there just waiting for you to come. I heard about this store, new store that's opened in New York City that sells husbands. Women go there to choose a husband, but single women may visit the store only once. There's 6 floors, and the attributes of the men increase as the shopper ascends the floors. There is, however, a catch. A woman may choose any man from a particular floor, or she may choose to go up a floor, but she cannot go back down to a floor except to exit the building. So a woman goes to this husband store in New York City to find a husband. On the first floor, the sign on the door reads, "Floor 1, these men have jobs and love the Lord." Woman thinks it good, goes to the second floor. "These men have jobs, love the Lord, and love kids." Even better. But she continues to the third floor. "These men have jobs, love the Lord, love kids, and they're extremely good looking." Not many of us hit that, all of that. Wow, she thinks, but she feels compelled to keep going. She goes to the fifth floor. The sign reads, "These men have jobs, love the Lord, love kids, are drop dead good looking, and help with the housework." That's where I back off. Oh, she exclaims, "I can hardly stand it." But she goes to the fifth floor. Can you believe it? Fifth floor. "These men have jobs, love the Lord, love kids, are drop dead gorgeous, help with the housework, and have a strong romantic streak." She's strongly tempted to stay, but she goes to the sixth, the final floor. The sign reads, "Floor 6, you are visitor number 4,363,012 to this floor. There are no men on this floor. This floor exists solely to prove that some women are impossible to please." I like that. So, no perfect marriages, remember that. But pray that the Lord, and he can do it. He can do it in an instant. I can testify to that. In an instant, he can bring the right person to you. So if you're single, don't panic. Commit it to the Lord. Loyal to each other, loyal to the Word of God, loyal to the work of God. Quite often I'm asked this question. Do I put the work of God ahead of my family? My answer is, I serve God. I serve my family. I don't need to put them in an order of priority. Why would you do that? All of them go together in an act of worship to the Lord. God called me to Calvary Church. God called me to be a husband. God called me to be a father. God called me to be a grandfather. But God has called me first and foremost to seek first the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, If you seek the kingdom of God, all of the other things will be added to you. That is, here's the important principle, that if we seek God first, you put God first, you put the kingdom of God first, and these other things will fall into place. Don't allow people to say, well, you're spending too much time in this and that. All of it is an act of worship to the Lord. Don't make that false dichotomy. And please, don't make an idol of your family. First commandment, only one God. Now your family, you love your family, you've got responsibility to your family, but don't make an idol out of your family. That is the other extreme. And don't use your family as an excuse not to enthusiastically serve the Lord. That's a cop-out. Priscilla and Aquila were loyal to the church of God. We read here, verse 5, greet also the church in their house. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. The churches of Asia, Paul says, send you greetings. Aquila, he's mentioned first now, Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house. Paul is commending this couple and is thankful for the church which met in their house. So perhaps Priscilla was a wealthy woman. Perhaps their house was bigger than normal, average, and they used that not for in a self-indulgent way, but they used it for the spread of the gospel. So the church met in their house. That would be a great home to go to, wouldn't it? Where a couple were loyal to each other, were committed to the work of God, were going to teach the word of God together, loyal to the church. I ask you, are you loyal? Is there a loyalty here? Do you only come to church when you feel like it? It's too hot, it's too rainy, it's too this, too that. Stay up so late on Saturday night that you're tired on Sunday and you can't come to church. I hear people saying this. Oh, I was tired. I think, unbelievable. You're so tired on a Sunday morning that you can't get up and worship. You need to be ashamed of yourself, in all honesty. That is absolutely ridiculous. Is that strong enough? But I hear it. Could you imagine standing before the judgment seat of Christ and saying, well, you know, well, I came sometimes, I was kind of tired. Singles, men, you're 25, 26, 27 years old. Stop playing the video games to 4 o'clock in the morning and start being mature. It's called growing up. It's called being responsible. And it's called seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I don't know any Christian young woman that wants to have that kind of guy as a husband. If you want that kind of guy as a husband, you're on the wrong track. Look for someone who shares your passion for Christ, your service for the Lord. In the Old Testament, at the religious festivals, the children were with the parents. In Matthew chapter 1, Jesus goes into the temple. He drives out the money changers, says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers. Verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, have you noticed this? And the children crying out in the temple. I don't mind when children cry out here. It's biblical, right? The children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were indignant. And they said to him, do you hear what they're saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise? And I want to commend our many, many, many couples who come to church with your children. Is that sometimes difficult to get them all ready? Yes, it is. Do they understand all of the service? No, I don't, and I'm the preacher. Do they sometimes find it tough to sit in the seat through a service? Yes, I understand that. But here is a biblical warning, Old Testament and New Testament, that the very children, they maybe didn't understand it all, but they're crying out, Hosanna! And the very stones would cry out. And how important it is that we as Christian families put a tremendous priority on corporate worship. Let me ask you as we close, where are you in all of this? A profile in marriage. Are you loyal to your spouse? Are you loyal to Christ? Do you know Christ? Loyal to your family? Loyal in serving the Lord? Loyal to the church of God? We can never do this in our own strength. Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Any of us who are married, any of us who are trying to raise children, know we need the Lord's help. We need to get on our knees and cry out to God to help us. That I would be a husband who loves my wife. That you would be a father who is teaching your children. That you would be a wife who's encouraging and partnering your husband. That your children are raised not in a perfect home, but a home where Jesus Christ is honored. In the Genesis account, the goodness of God is emphasized. As God creates, it is said, it is good, it is good, it is good, but it's not good for the man to be alone. And the more we are loyal and loving to our spouse, the greater your joy. If you're married, stop being so much on your own. Learn to develop a deep partnership, a godly partnership with your wife. True joy is not found in your possessions. True joy is not found in your career. True joy is not found in pleasing yourself. It's found in a true relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when God gives you a husband, a wife, the joy of that relationship will increase in direct proportion to how much you enjoy the Lord. Our Father and our God, I pray for the husbands and wives here. All of us fail as we hear these scriptures. I can hear many people saying, well, I can't. I come short. I've blown it. But we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your forgiveness. And I pray even now, Father, that many husbands and wives will be drawing close to you, close to one another, asking your help. I pray for those who are recovering from broken marriages where there's been failure. We thank you that you're a forgiving God. We pray that they will be free from guilt and shame. But as they look to you, that you will continue to guide them in the paths of righteousness. I pray for all of our children and our students that they will continue to walk in your path. Bless us, Father. Protect our marriages. Protect our homes, we ask. Christ's name.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the conclusion of a message titled A Profile of Marriage. Now, as we near the end of our fourth and final study in the book of Romans, I want to remind you of the special resource we're offering our listeners. It's a guidebook by John filled with insightful content and interactive resources designed to supplement each of these daily lessons. You'll find historical context, personal devotions, and questions for you and your family. It's called Romans, The Transformation of the Gospel, and it's free to download or request by mail. Just go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict to request your copy. There, you can also get our previous Romans study guides for chapters 1 through 11. And while you're online, don't forget to sign up for our monthly email list to stay in the loop on the latest ministry news. Again, that's calvarychurch.com/theverdict. As we close today, consider making your own impact in the lives of other listeners by helping us share these daily messages from God's Word. Our ministry relies on the generous donations of faithful listeners like you who share our passion for sharing the gospel. You can send your gift of any amount by going to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And you can also connect with us on social media. The Verdict is now on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just log on to your account and search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Now, with his closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Would you describe yourself as a loyal person? Are you loyal to your friends? I certainly trust that you're loyal to your husband or your wife if you've married. If there has been any disloyalty, you need to ask for forgiveness and for God's strength to help you have a marriage which glorifies God. One of the greatest joys I have in ministry is serving with my wife at Calvary Church. Now, next time we're going to continue to look at Romans 16 and learn an important lesson that each person matters to God.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.